The following is an initiation lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on January 8th, 2012 in Santiago, Chile.
Vandeham Sri Guru Shri Jata Bada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganitam Vitam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitam Shcha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Shaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisheshu Shunyavadi Paschanya Deshatarine. So, today is the most auspicious occasion. Initiation ceremony. We get our first birth from our mother and father. But that first birth is nothing extraordinary. And the dogs also get such birth. And the cats, the rats, the cucarachas. You see, everyone gets first birth. But to get second birth, that is very, very special thing. Second birth means you become truly a human being. If one only gets first birth, they are in the category of animal, that's all. But if they get that second birth, then they truly enter into human life. So our first birth is from our mother and father. And there is also a mother and father at the second birth as well. But this is a different mother and father. At the second birth, the Vedas, they are our mother. And the spiritual master, he is our father. This day of initiation is a very special turning point in the eternal existence of a living being. Prabhupada explains this in a lecture he gave in Los Angeles on the 5th of January, 1974. Prabhupada says, deathlessness begins from the day of initiation. Adao garashvayam. As soon as you take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, your point of deathlessness begins. In other words, we have been living in the world of death, Martya Loka, for millions of lifetimes. We get born simply to die, that's all. You're born and you die, and then you get born to die again. You get to die again and again and again. You must face death. But death is a very unpleasant thing. Why is death unpleasant? Because it contradicts the very nature of the living being. Death does not make any sense for an eternal living entity. But because the living entity is caught up in illusion, he suffers death after death after death after death. And every death experience is the most painful experience. The most frightening experience. It's unavoidable. As it is said, death is as sure as death. But one who takes shelter of the bona fide spiritual master by initiation is reviving his eternal, deathless nature as the servant of Krishna. So it is the greatest cause for celebration to get initiation. So does that mean, and now I'm initiated, now I'm saved, I don't have to worry about anything? Now that I'm initiated, my guru will save me, I can do anything and not worry about it? What is that called? That's called Christianity. I accept Jesus and now I can do whatever I want because I'm saved. But the law of karma does not work like that. If you commit a sinful activity, you must take the reaction. So if you want to be saved, you must give up sinful activities. It's not that by initiation you're automatically saved. Because there are vows taken at the time of initiation. And you must strictly follow these vows. Otherwise you are spoiling the initiation. And you are being observed by higher authorities. The demigods can see. Yamaraj can see. Krishna can see. Everything you do is being observed. So you can't cheat on the regulated principles. No illicit sex. No meat eating. No intoxication. And no gambling. But if you will strictly follow the initiation vows you're taking today, and you never deviate from these vows, then from the very moment the spiritual master hands you the beads and gives you the name, your eternal existence has begun. You're now released from the bodily consciousness, and you're initiated into your eternal spiritual identity as Krishna's servant. So, everybody should get initiated, really. I mean, why suffer? Dearth, death, old age, and disease. How many people here would like to become initiated disciples? Let's see, raise your hand. How many would like to be initiated disciples? Okay. Oh, that's good. So Prabhupada is our number one guru. He is our founder, Acharya. And we have many disciples of Prabhupada who are initiating disciples. And many of them come here also. So you can choose one of the spiritual masters, become an initiated disciple, and get that formal connection with Prabhupada, and enter into your eternal, deathless existence. For one who takes the initiation vows very seriously, this body is just a garment, that's all. Just like I'm wearing this kurta. And if the kurta gets ruined, I just throw it away and put a new one on, that's all. No big deal. If I thought I was this kurta and it got destroyed, I become completely devastated, you see. If I thought this kurta was me and it got destroyed, then I would be an emotional wreck. I would be completely devastated. That I'm finished. You see, I'm all over. I don't exist anymore. You see. But this kurta is only a garment, so it's no big deal. I can rip the kurta, I can put in a new one, no problem. So for someone who's become Krishna conscious, who has taken shelter of a bona fide spiritual master by initiation, which means who has in a very practical, scientific way entered into their eternal spiritual identity, the destruction of body is nothing to lament. It means I'm getting a new body. Instead of this old, worn-out body, I'm getting a new body to serve Krishna better. Whether it's a new material body or a new spiritual body, it doesn't matter to the devotee. He's completely surrendered to Krishna. If Krishna wants, he's willing to serve Krishna in this material world, birth after birth. And if Krishna wants, he's very happy to serve Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. So for a devotee, death means rejuvenation. It doesn't mean destruction, it means rejuvenation. An increase of energy for serving Krishna. So, it's simply chanting 16 rounds of japa and following the four regular principles sufficient for going back to Godhead? If you follow the four rules and you chant 16 rounds, that's all you have to do? Si or no? No, it's not enough. Prabhupada has given 10 offenses we have to avoid while chanting. If you commit the nama aparads, you'll have to take birth again. Even if you're initiated and you're following the four principles, chanting 16 rounds, if you continue to do nama parad, you're not qualified to go back to Godhead. So you have to also avoid these 10 offenses. Prabhupada therefore wanted at the initiation lecture these 10 offenses should be discussed. The first offense is to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. This is called Hati Mata, the mad elephant offense. If you are critical of devotees, Krishna will not accept you. He wants that you are devoted to his devotees. Just like if you, the Prabhupada always quoted the saying, if you love me, love my dog. So the devotees, they are the very dear dogs of God, you see. So if you have a neighbor and you're always kicking his dog and beating his dog, your neighbor will never like you, you see. And if you're very kind to his dog, and very friendly to his dog, then he will like you very much. So we devotees, we are the dogs of God. That's why we have our dog collar, you see. So you have to love the dogs of God if you want to love God, you see. Therefore, you cannot be offensive to devotees. The second offense is to consider the names of the demigods like Shiva or Brahma to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. Don't think that Krishna is another one of the gods. He is the supreme God. Therefore, he is called Devadeva. Actually, I have given that name to one of my disciples, Devadeva Das. He is just over the mountains in Mendoza. So, Devadeva means the God of the gods, you see. So, that is Krishna's position. He is the God that Jesus prays to in the Bible. Jesus says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That is Krishna. So Jesus says also, this Hare Krishna mantra is holy. Even Jesus says. The third offense is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. You must take the orders given by your guru. As your very life and soul. He must embrace his instructions within your heart. You must always worship his instructions. Otherwise you're an offender against the name. The fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. We must always respect the Vaishnava literature. It's very, muy, muy importante. To consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imagination. Somebody may say, well, you Hare Krishna people, you know, you say that you can chant Hare Krishna, you can see God, you can attain unlimited bliss. I think it's just a bunch of exaggerated hype. The glories of Krishna's name are as unlimited as Krishna himself. There's no way you can glorify the name too much. No matter how much we may glorify Krishna's name, we can never glorify it enough. It's impossible to exaggerate the glories of the name. Because the glories of the name are unlimited. The sixth offense is to give some interpretation in the holy name of the Lord. This is what the Sanskrit scholars do. They say Krishna means black. And black means ignorance. Therefore, Krishna means ignorance. And Bhagavad Gita says that you should surrender unto ignorance. So don't listen to the rascal commentaries of these mundane scholars. Krishna says, Bhaktosi me sakache ti, because you're my devotee, therefore I'm revealing this to you, Arjuna. The only persons who can understand Bhagavad Gita are the devotees. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The seventh offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. Well, someone may think, well, I used to smoke marijuana before I became a devotee, and I've just really been wanting to smoke some marijuana. And but I'll chant some extra rounds tomorrow to make up for it. Don't do that. That is a very, very simple thing. You cannot think, well, I will do some sin, but I'll chant some extra rounds to make up for it. That will not protect you. That will not purify you. The eighth offense is to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna as one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as fruitive activities. That I've been trying to get a job and I haven't gotten hired yet, so I'm going to chant extra rounds to get a job. Don't use the holy name for any material purpose. That is namaparad. The holy name is there simply to awaken your love for Krishna. That's it. To instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. Someone may say, well, I didn't like to do Sankirtan anyway, so now here's my excuse. But that is not what this means. It means you have to intelligently describe Krishna to people at a level that they can understand. You give persons at whatever level they can understand and appreciate our philosophy. Don't tell them something that's going to give them the opportunity to make blasphemy. Just like one time I was in the airport in Fiji. We were getting ready to make a flight to Los Angeles. And one atheistic man, he came up to me. He saw me with my tilak and my dhoti. And he was kind of like laughing a little bit. Ha, ha, ha. I'm going to make fun of this religious person tonight. He said, what's your philosophy? He was just ready to defeat me and say something blasphemous. I could immediately understand where he was coming from. And I remember this offense, the ninth offense, you see. So I simply told him this. Sir, our philosophy is this.
Señor, nuestra filosofía es esta.
Know who you are and be who you are.
Yo sé quién eres y sé quién eres.
And he couldn't say anything, is it?
No puedo decir nada.
I gave him. I gave him our philosophy. On a level where he could not make any blasphemous statement, you see. So in this way, we have to intelligently present the philosophy according to the person. I went to a Christian church one time and gave a talk to their adult Sunday school class. And I told them, oh, Jesus is our guru. He's the Son of God. Jesus will save us. All these things. They were so happy. They had a big smile. But then in English language, I don't know about in Spanish, but in English language, the word beef has a dual meaning. Beef. Like carne. Carne. Yeah. It means the flesh of the cow. It also means a complaint. So after they were smiling very nicely, I said, but with you, we have a beef. And that is the beef. You're eating meat. And that the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. But they were so mellowed out by all this. I had glorified Jesus for about 15 minutes. They were completely mellowed out, and they just smiled when I told them they were rascals for eating meat. Because I said it in such a poetic way, you know, we have a beef, and that is the beef. So the point is, you should always use your intelligence when you're preaching. Our book distributors must learn this art because they approach person after person after person after person. You have to approach anybody, even an atheist, in such a way that he becomes interested to see what's in that book. So this is the meaning of the ninth offense. You have to preach intelligently. Not like a fanatic. But it's like an intelligent philosopher you must preach. And the tenth offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names. And to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. If you're actually deeply meditating on Krishna's name, you will taste so much happiness, so much joy, so much peace, that you'll forget about your material attachments. If I give you $1,000, you will be very happy. US dollars. And I say, oh, give it back. You'll be disappointed. Because you got attached to that $1,000. But if I say, give me that $1,000 back, I'll give you $1,000,000. Immediately, you will not be attached to that $1,000. Yeah, here, take your crummy $1,000. Give me that million. You see? So Krishna Bhakti, it is like $1,000,000. And your material attachments, they're just some cheap $1,000 things. Sex life, fame, fortune, all of these material things we're attached to, they're just cheap. Cheap nonsense. And so, once you become attached to Krishna's name, you'll forget all this garbage material attachments. The last, and then also it is offensive to be inattentive while chanting. So there's different ways of being inattentive. One way is called jabber japa. Jabber means pajalpa japa. Pajalpa japa. Yeah. You're going, Hare Krishna, how are you doing, Prabhu? Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Where have you been, Prabhu? Ram, Ram, Hare Hare. In this way, you're talking and you're trying to chant your japa at the same time. Don't do that. When you chant your japa, you're having a personal meeting with Krishna himself. You have to respect that this is Krishna himself. I'm now meeting with Krishna. The another kind of japa is called radar japa, just like in the Air Force, they have the radar that scans for enemy airplanes, you see. So when it's chanting japa like this, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna. Radar japa.
Especially while driving.
Huh?
While driving.
While driving. Chanting japa while you're driving also, you're trying to chant with a clicker, your beads trying to drive and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Do your rounds while you're chanting. This is meditation, Prabhus. This is meditation, Matajis. You meditate, you go deep, deep, deep into the sound vibration. You don't pay your attention to anything else. It's a time to dive deeply, simply into the name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Another one is called dive bomber japa. Just like in World War II, you know, the planes fly high and then they want to drop the bombs, they go like this. They drop the bombs and they go up again. The airplanes dropping the bombs. It's called a dive bomber. They go very high, so they can't be hit by the anti-aircraft weapons. But then they get ready to drop their bombs. They come low, you see, and they drop the bombs and they go back up. So they go like this. So this is dive bomber jumping, you know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That's dive bomber jumping. So if you're sleepy, stand up. And if you're still sleepy, walk back and forth. Prabhupada, you can see the video. Prabhupada's walking back and forth in his quarters in Los Angeles chanting japa, you see. If you can sit nicely and chant, that's very good. But not if you're going like this. You see. Don't do the dive bomber japa. So in this way, if you will learn how to chant very attentive rounds, you'll avoid these offenses, and you follow these four rules, then you're back to going back to Godhead is guaranteed. Upon leaving this body, you will go back to the spiritual world and you will see Krishna. But if you work very hard and try to develop Shuddha Nam, pure name, as soon as possible, Prabhupada says in the Bhagavatam purport that you can actually enter into the spiritual world even while you're in your present body. You don't have to wait for death to go back to Godhead. You can actually fully enter the spiritual world even while you're in your present body. Prabhupada explains this in the second canto of the Bhagavatam. So, now you must take this most seriously. You're becoming born again as my disciples. Born again as my disciples. Why become my disciples? Because I'm simply connecting you with Prabhupada. That's some of my God brothers, they deviated from Prabhupada. They left ISKCON. So it's better not to take such person as guru. who has disobeyed his spiritual master. He has not shown the proper example. One should take as his guru one spiritual master who is purely serving his spiritual master, who is obediently following his spiritual master. That is how you'll become strong in spiritual life. You need to have the example of a pure devotee spiritual master, because that will empower you to become pure devotees. So now we'll get to the best part of the program. That's giving the name. So how many rounds will you chant every day?
At least 16 rounds during my whole life.
Bueno. And what are the four regulated principles?
¿Cuáles son los cuatro principios relativos? No comer carne, ni huevo, ni pescado. No eating meat. Fish. No fish, eggs. Comer carne, ni huevo, ni pescado. Yeah. No juego de azar.
No gambling.
No tener sexo ilícito.
No illicit sex.
Y...
No intoxication.
Muy bueno. So,
entonces,
su nombre es Jagat Kirti Das. So, Jagat Kirti means one whose fame is spread all over the universe. So that is Krishna. He is Jagat Kirti. So if you will serve Jagat Kirti Krishna by spreading his fame all over the universe, you will also become Jagat Kirti. You become famous all over the universe. So you can be Jagat Kirti Das, and by spreading the glories of the Supreme Jagat Kirti, you can also be Jagat Kirti. Hare Krishna. So now we will call for Julio Jr. So, Bhakta Julio, how many rounds of japa will you chant every day?
¿Cuántas rondas va a cantar? Mínimo 16 rondas durante el resto de mi vida.
Mínimo, like 16 rounds.
Muy buena. Okay. And what are the four regulated principles?
¿Cuáles son los cuatro principios relativos?
No comer carne.
No eat meat.
Ni huevo.
Or eggs.
Ni pescado.
And fish.
No intoxicarme.
No intoxication.
No sexo ilícito.
No illicit sex.
No practicar juegos de azar.
No gambling.
Ah, muy buena. Okay. So, su nombre es Janardan Das. So, Janardan means the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, who is the maintainer of all the living entities. Therefore, you must also take very good care of all the living entities by preaching this Krishna consciousness movement to everybody that you meet. Hare Krishna. Obeisances. So now we are calling for the wife of Jagat Kirti and the mother of Janardan Das.
Bhaktin Isabel.
So, Bhakti Isabel, how many Japa Mala you will chant every day?
Así que, Bhakti Isabel, ¿cuántas rondas de Japa Mala va a cantar cada día?
Mínimo 16 rondas durante el resto de mi vida.
At least 16 good rounds.
Bueno. And how, what are the four regulated principles?
¿Cuáles son los cuatro principios regulativos?
No comer carne, huevo ni pescado.
No eat meat, egg or fish.
No intoxicarme.
No intoxication.
No juegos de azar.
No gambling.
Y no sexo ilícito.
And not illicit sex.
Muy buena. Case. So, su nombre es... Iravati Devidasi. So Iravati is a very, very great devotee. She is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. She is the wife of Maharaj Parikshit. So she's a very great Vaishnavi queen. And you are her servant.
Jai Hare Krishna.